Tim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Tim, can you give us a little bit of background? What exactly has Facebook done wrong?
So this all goes back to a few years back, that's about 2013, when Facebook's terms and conditions actually allowed third-party providers to tap into what's called the Facebook platform and pull data out for them to use in new and interesting ways, which is what Facebook always intended it for. A academic decided to do a test, and they built an app which was basically just a simple quiz about what your life is like and that sort of thing. Around about 300,000 people downloaded it, and that accessed their data. The interesting thing was that back then, Facebook had no limitations on how deep you could pull into that data pool. So by accessing 300,000 people, what they actually got was 50 million people, because it went to the friends of friends of friends of friends and took all that data. Now, to Facebook's credit, they immediately at the time went, oh, that's not right, and they've changed the terms and conditions. But the data had already been taken. So that's the point when, you know, we're talking now about Mark Zuckerberg's responsibility. His company was responsible for allowing that huge amount of data to get out there. Then you go forward a couple of years, and somehow Cambridge Analytica got hold of that data and started using it in terrifyingly sort of, you know, weird ways to try and manipulate the US election outcome, as well as other places. So there's two stories going on here. One is, how could Facebook allow such a huge amount of data to get out into the public arena? And then the second thing is when people are rightly outraged about how someone actually used that data, which was incredibly manipulative on a democratic process.
And how effective do you think Cambridge Analytica's programs have been using this data? Like, how successful have they been in using it?
It's hard to quantify, and that's a lot of the commentary that's going around at the moment is about whether we can really assign a lot of those tactics to the outcomes that were achieved in the Trump campaign. You know, we've all talked for months and months about this phenomenon of fake news and whether or not it had an influence on people's voting patterns. This example, I think, is someone who is actually going out of their way and setting out to try and manipulate on an emotional level. And that's the scary thing. You know, on the one hand, people could sit back and say, oh, well, the Trump campaign generally tried to appeal to xenophobia, to people who are afraid, to protectionism. And we're kind of okay with that, because if that's what people want to hear, then we kind of have to sit back and say that's what they wanted to elect. With this story, if we see people who are actually, you know, looking at how people will react to a certain bit of news and then giving them that news in order to get them to have an outcome, when no one else can see that, I think that's the scary thing that's going on here. Because how Cambridge Analytica used that data was to place what are called dark ads on Facebook. And that is basically, you know, if I hit a certain personality trait, if I am, let's say, the stereotypical trucker cap wearing, not liking Mexican kind of guy from Alabama, I will be targeted to see an ad that says, Hillary Clinton likes Mexicans and wants to let them all in here. But you or I, sitting in a liberal New York or a Los Angeles office, we wouldn't see that at all. And that's the level of manipulation, is targeting your ads right down to people and giving them a message that you think that they need to twist them a certain way.
Right. Now, if you're just tuning into The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Tim Norton about the latest developments in the Facebook Cambridge Analytica affair. Now, with Mark Zuckerberg knowing about that recent information leak, why do you think he's not prepared to be questioned by the US Congress over these allegations?
I always get the impression that Mark Zuckerberg is biting off more than he can chew. When you think about it, he was just a dude from college who came up with a pretty good idea for a tech industry. And now he's a multi-billionaire at the helm of one of the largest organizations in the world. And every time these things happen, you can see them scramble to sort of reconcile the business interests of Facebook, which is to sell us as products, and the backlash when people start to realize that. And that's what this is. You know, it's not so much that there's something wrong with Facebook's business model, and it's not that he's trying to avoid the scrutiny of an industry that needs regulation. It's actually that he's bitten off too much in terms of being able to regulate himself and regulate his own industry. That level of scrutiny at the UK parliamentary inquiry will show the reality of what it's like to have an ad platform that has no regulations and no control.
And why are they so apprehensive against regulating their platform?
Well, I'll give him credit that actually some of his comments in the last couple of days, he has said that it's not about whether we have regulation or not, it's getting the right kind of regulation. And I think it's not necessarily apprehension, it's that this is new territory for everybody. So the old systems that were applied to companies, just general companies, or even tech companies, and then the kind of regulations that we put on media companies, this sits in the middle. And this is a very sort of new ground for us all to try and enter into. How do we regulate a company that at its heart is an advertising platform, but all the content is created by the users? Now, do the users have responsibility and control for that? And if so, do we go to that nth degree and actually say everyone who's on Facebook owns their own data, owns their own digital persona? Well, Facebook doesn't want that because they want to be able to sell it. But on the flip side, this example has shown that we don't want Facebook to own everything either. So what we actually need is a rethink about how we look at data ownership and figure out who owns it and how do we manage it and how do we, you know, go forward to the idea of who then has responsibility for it. It's a new territory, and I think we need to stop and reflect on how are we going to govern this sort of area.
Now, with this uncertainty over the ownership of the public's data, do you think the Australian people should be concerned about their information?
Yeah, I mean, it's an unfortunate outcome that we have to get to these sort of horrific stories before people start to take notice. But my hope is that this will actually start the conversation that you and I are having now, that people will start to say, well, hang on, what happened there? And it'll go a bit deeper. As I said, the two stories there. One, you can be angry at Cambridge Analytica. You can be angry at Steve Bannon and Donald Trump for trying to manipulate an outcome. And that's one story we can talk about. And I think that goes more to the antics of political parties and how we actually give them power to manipulate us. But the second story there is, where did this data come from? And for me, it's not so much about how it got out there, it's why did Facebook need to collect it all in the first place? And that's the question we should be asking when we enter into any kind of bargain with a data company. What do you need to know from me in order to provide me with a service? And, you know, some of them are very obvious. If you want to use Uber, you will need to tell Uber where you are. That's a logical part of your data. But Uber doesn't need to know your date of birth. There's no reason for it to know that. It's just stuff they want to know. And so we should be able to step back and say, I will use your service, but I will give you the data that I want to. And if I don't want to give it to you and you've taken it, I want it back. And that's a bit more of the data autonomy that we're talking about that's necessary.
And where do we need to get to? So what do you think the future holds for Facebook after these revelations? What needs to happen for there to be common ground on what information is shared?
I think we'll see a lot more attempted transparency from Facebook, and we have seen that in the past, as people become more aware of just how creepy it is that Facebook wants to know more and more about you. We started to see them do a bit of a PR spin and get themselves on the front foot. So you notice every now and then when you log in, there's a big thing at the top that just says, hey, we've updated our privacy terms, and here's how you can look at them, and here's how you can change it. That's in direct response to how the public are feeling about that platform. And so I think we'll see more of that, where they're pushed into a space where they have to be more transparent. But we're a long way from what it needs to be to have that equality between the user and the company. My hope is that we keep talking about it and we sort of keep pushing and we keep on that pressure so that platforms like Facebook actually have to respond.
Right. Well, hopefully we can continue our dialogue about this really concerning revelations. Tim, thank you so much for joining us this morning.